One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you to this edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Service. Very glad that you're here today. On Friday, a dear friend of mine and one of my early street preachers by the name of Mark Bennett lost his battle with COVID, and he went home to be with the Lord. We all prayed for him every day during his illness, and Psalm 71 was something that the Lord gave me for today's message while Mark was still fighting. It talks about the Lord being our hope and our deliverer, even in the most trying of circumstances. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 3 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress." We live in a time of fear and panic, a time where a viral pandemic is killing millions of people around the world, and it feels very much like a time of emergency. But actually, this emergency has always existed. But until now, most people were able to numb themselves to it with the self-medications of drugs and alcohol, music, sports, career paths, you name it. Long before the COVID pandemic, each day over 151,000 people die around the world, and they go on to their Hebrews 9:27 unbreakable appointment. I believe that this pandemic is a judgment from God. And not only that, it is preparation for the revealing of the short-lived and coming kingdom of Antichrist. This morning, I want to bring you hope and salvation if you're lost. And I want to remind you, if you're saved, of what awaits you in glory. Mark Bennett is home with the Lord. And one day you and I will be there too. Let's get something done for him and his kingdom between then and now. To the fight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you, Father God, for every blessing that you give. I thank you, Lord, for my friend Mark Bennett, one of my early street preachers. He was here just a few months ago. Gave me a big hug, wished me well on the opening of the bookstore, and it's almost like he came to say goodbye. And Father God, today we're going to remember my friend, our friend, Mark Bennett. We're also going to remember what he believed right up to the moment you took him home. He believed everything that I believe about your word, about your son, Jesus Christ, about your Holy Spirit, about the pre-tribulation rapture, and about the coming kingdom. And Father, I have so many mixed emotions today. Give me the message. Make it clear, make it plain, and help me to sort through my thoughts, Lord. Speak through me, Father God. And Lord, for anyone who's suffering right now, who's listening to this broadcast, we pray, Lord, mercy and blessing. We pray, God, that you would just help us in our time of need. And we commit this program to you, Lord, in this time, in this service. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Welcome, everybody. Today, I want to give you an encouraging message from Psalm 71, something that God put on my heart a couple of days ago. Must have been Tuesday or Wednesday. And that really spoke to me. And I prayed those promises over my friend Mark while he was still fighting. And God chose to take him home despite our prayers, or maybe because of our prayers. There's so much that we don't know, that we're not going to know until we get there. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I want to play this song this morning. My friend Mark Bennett was a very outspoken Christian. very outspoken Christian. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart. And he was a blessing. And for those of us who knew him, who were friends with him, he was a very unique individual. And Mark Bennett was a strong King James only. He named his son Kingsley. And I never asked him about it, but I am 99% sure that he named his son Kingsley as a reference to the King James Bible that he believed and put his trust in as God's preserved word. So I want to play this song this morning and dedicate it to my friend Mark Bennett, who's home in heaven with the Lord right now. And I want you to pray for his wife, Anita, and his son, Kingsley. They're getting ready to prepare his funeral. They're really going through a tough time. So please pray for the Bennett family, especially Anita and Kingsley. They really need your prayers right now.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, people
The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so, being that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord, with the Lord. Every single day, over 151,000 people will die of various things. COVID, cancer, aneurysms, brain tumor, car accidents, drunken driving, alcoholism, drug abuse, murder, freak accidents. You name it. There's hundreds of different ways that people die every single day. And it's a sobering thought to think about that yesterday there were 151,000 people alive on this earth who are dead today. And it's even more sobering to think that there's 151,000 people alive right now who will be dead this time tomorrow. And so it goes, and it doesn't stop day in, day out. People are born and people die. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, it talks about the unbreakable appointment that we all have. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." If you're lost today, I pray you get saved. I pray that there will be something said and done within this broadcast, if you're lost, that would cause you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, if you're lost, read Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend Mark is in heaven. He leaves behind his wife and child. But someday soon they're going to catch up with him, because they're saved as well. And over the years that we've been doing Now the End Begins since 2009, we have done multiple funerals for our members who have gone on to be with the Lord. Anna Duffy Shank, Glenda Fiore, Elwood France, Jeffrey Harbuck, and now Mark Bennett. And over the years, I have seen fellow Bible believers who believe just as strongly and as passionately as I do. I have seen them go home to be with the Lord. And the longer you live, the longer you see people die. And this is why we go out into the streets and we preach. That's where I met Mark Bennett. The very first time that I ever met him, we were preaching on St. George Street around 2013. And he was attracted by what he heard, and he came and he just joined up with us. He was a big guy. When I say big, very big. Probably around 350 to maybe even 400 pounds. I mean, he carried it well, but he was a big, big, big man. And he used to preach. He'd get up on one of the park benches and he'd preach at the top of his lungs. And halfway through preaching, he would start singing a hymn. He had a pretty good singing voice. And that's how I got to meet Mark Bennett. And he believed what I believe, what you believed. He believed the King James Bible. He named his son Kingsley. He believed in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. He just didn't live long enough to experience it. I don't know if I will. I don't know if you will. But this is why we preach on the streets, because every day 151,000 people die. And every single day a huge number of those 151,000 people go home to be with the Lord, and some of them go to hell. And because hell is real, we preach on the streets and we warn every man, every woman, every child. This is why the Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And believe me, when we go down to the streets and we preach, I'm sure we look like fools. When Mark Bennett would stand up on that bench, as big as he was, and preach and sing, I'm sure that there were lots of people who thought he was a fool. But there were also lots of people who stopped and asked for prayer. There were also people who stopped and said, "Tell me how can I get saved?" This is why we send out King James Bibles. This is why we're always asking you to donate to our King James Bible program, so that we can send out King James Bibles to anybody who needs one but can't afford one. And I told you a couple of days ago that by faith we're increasing our donations of King James Bibles from 600 to over 1,100 every single month, and that starts this month, August. Why do we do that? Why do we give away 1,100 King James Bibles every single month? Because that's the preserved Word of God. And there's nothing more important than getting the Word of God into the hands of people who need to read it, study it, understand it. I had a woman last week who bought an entire case of Bibles, and she's handing them out. I had a woman who called me up on the phone a couple of days ago, Wednesday, and she's a volunteer for her church's vacation Bible school. And with her own money, she said, I'd like to buy 50 Bibles. Now, the Bible that she wanted to buy for vacation Bible school was a $25 Bible. And she said, I only have $7 each for those Bibles. Could I still buy them? And we sold her those $25 Bibles for $7 a piece, and then we paid for her shipping. Why would we do that? Because we want to be a blessing to her. She wasn't using church money to buy those 50 Bibles. She was using her own money because she had such a burden to put a King James Bible into the hands of those children. A good Bible with a hard cover that they could write their name in and that they could keep for a long time. This is how you get something done for the Lord. People get a passion. They get a burden to want to be used of God in a mighty way. And that's why we have the Billboard Witness Program. That's why we have the Free King James Bible Program. Because there is nothing more important than putting the Word of God into the hands of the people who need it. Nothing. C.T. Studd said it the best. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Are you in the game? If you're saved today, are you on the front lines? Yeah, that's where the bullets are. That's where people live and die. I have a lot of friends in the military, in the Air Force, in the Army, in the Marines, and they come back from fighting and they tell me their stories. When you're on the front lines, that's where the fighting is. That's where the bullets are flying. And that's where people live, that's where people work, and that's where people die. And we, whether you want to be or not, we are on the front lines of the end times. In the midst of a global pandemic, and the rise of the spirit of Antichrist, and the formation of the New World Order. I'm not making that up. That is absolutely what's happening, and we've been watching it for the last 17 months. This is no joke. This is no game. This is no fooling around. You're on the front lines, and you may be, you may be hit. You may be fatally hit. But wouldn't you rather want to go out on the front lines getting something done for the Lord than hiding inside your house? We're not called to hide. We are called to charge the front lines of the end times. Not with bullets and bats and sticks and knives. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm not calling you to go fight somebody or to shoot somebody or to beat somebody up. But I am calling you to get your King James Bible, fill your pockets with gospel tracts, and go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that his house may be full. I don't know when my end's going to be. I hope I live long enough to see the pre-tribulation rapture, but if I don't, I want to go out at full speed, at maximum capacity for serving the Lord. Nothing more important than that.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Time won't matter anymore. You land I'm longing for you, and someday
Open up your Bibles, please, to Psalm 71. And as you're turning there, I want to lift up these prayer requests this morning. And for all of you who are listening, wherever you're listening, if you could just bow your head and really remember the Bennett family today. I want to pray for Mark Bennett's wife, Anita, his son, Kingsley, that God would give them much comfort and strength and courage and help them to be bold. And not going to pray for Mark because he's in heaven. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't need your prayers, but his family sure does. Chris says, please pray for me to be able to move out of New York City. Sheila says, please pray for my husband Glenn Henry's salvation. Angel, prayers for my dentist, who I witnessed to. She took the jab. saved, and I want her to come to the website. Also, for my Humana insurance lady who I witnessed to on the phone, she needs to check out the website, meaning Now the End Begins. Prayers for cousin with leukemia and brother-in-law with cancer tumor. They both took the jab. And for all the unjabbed people in the world to not be terrified by governments, God is still in control. Amen. Karen says, good morning, church family. Please pray for salvation of those who are lost in my household. Angel, prayers for all lost family members in the NTEB church. Aunt Nancy says, prayers, please, for my son Brad for salvation. He also just took the jab. And we just want to pray that he doesn't get blood clots or anything like that. Rob says, prayer request, salvation for Phil and for the Lee family, who I gave tracts to this week. A lot of people asking for prayer after handing out gospel tracts. That's a blessing. Keep handing out those gospel tracts. Karen says, prayers for peace and comfort for Mark Bennett and his family. Amen. Rachel E., they are giving us an opportunity to submit a religious or medical exemption starting in about a week or so. I will try to pray that they accept what I submit. Please keep me and my family in your prayers. My dad is going for a biopsy since he had cancer due to exposure to toxins from 9/11 because he worked near Ground Zero. His doctor talked him into getting the vaccine despite my mom and I urging him not to. I have been struggling with a lot of anger about this. Dad didn't even discuss it with us. He's not a believer. So we're going to pray for Rachel's dad that he doesn't get side effects from the vaccine and that he gets saved. Kyle Gorzel says, please pray for a dear friend of ours named Debbie from Texas. Within the last year, she trusted Jesus for salvation. She is now a regular listener to NTEB. Amen. And has an extremely heavy heart for the lost family members around her. As well, they now have multiple family members with life-threatening illnesses. So Kyle wants prayers for Debbie, who got saved. And she's a regular listener to Now the End Begins, and she has a burden for her family. That's how it goes. When you get saved, God gives you a burden. You have his burden. Spray of Sunshine says, please pray for my friend's family. Just lost daughter to COVID on Saturday, has two young kids, parents, and a husband. Cheryl H., my pastor friend in Redondo Beach, California, that I had to tell about his COVID complications, is now at home in hospice care. Pray for his wife, Jen, and the congregation. They will soon need a new pastor. His name is Rob. We're also going to be praying for Gabby. We haven't heard from her in quite a while. And Gabby, if you're listening, please reach out. Let us know that you're okay. We miss you very, very much. Longtime listeners will recall that Gabby's husband, Elwood, went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago. Shortly after he came here to St. Augustine and we went street preaching together. Elwood was a blessing. I'm glad I got to meet him. Spray of Sunshine, please pray for Gretchen to heal from COVID, was just diagnosed. She's an amazing, anointed, King James only women's Bible teacher. Also, pray for Joan and Silas, both have COVID. Silas is in the hospital and not saved. I believe he is 94. Pray that he gets saved and healed. Jeffrey from Kentucky, praying for you, Pastor G, and for Mark Bennett's family. It's hard to understand sometimes. Amen. God bless you. You're in my prayers. Thank you, brother. Terry Tracy, there is an evangelistic team visiting our town this week. Please pray for the witness. I am planning to get involved. Amen. Get involved. Get out there on the front lines of the end times. Jay Gass, prayers from deliverance from alcohol for my father-in-law, Tony. Prayers for Karen. Prayers for Braden, who is 2 years old and dealing with cancer. Man, there's a lot of stuff to pray for this morning. There's a lot of needs. Aren't you glad that we have a God, that we serve a God who hears and answers prayer? Now, we all prayed for Mark Bennett. We prayed for him for 10 days. We prayed for him every Bible study we did, every podcast that we did, both Sunday services. But God decided to take him home anyway. That does not mean that God didn't answer our prayers. God has the final say. We don't live in the day and age of signs, miracles, and wonders. When we pray for somebody, we pray God's will be done. And that's something that you need to wrap your head around. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will, Father." And it was God's will to take Mark. His wife had COVID. She didn't die. His son had COVID. He didn't die. And that's the way that God decided that it needed to be. I can't explain that. I don't know why that is. When you get to heaven, you can ask him. But we serve a God who hears and answers prayers, that we may come boldly before the throne of grace, crying, "Abba, Father." We're only here on a daily pass. We're not here indefinitely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered in the chat room, the hundreds that are listening live and the thousands that will listen later. And Lord, you haven't given us the spirit of fear, but you've given us the spirit of peace and love and of a sound mind. And we just pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, we all pray this morning, Lord, for those of us that have lost family members, that they would come to know you. People are dying of COVID, cancer, cardiac arrest. There's no end to the different types of things that people are dying from. And one day, COVID will disappear. It will fade into obscurity like every other virus. Nobody is afraid of HIV today. It's a chronic condition. But there was a day where the whole world was terrified, just like the whole world is terrified right now of COVID. But diseases come and go. Eternity is forever. And Lord, we pray for everybody who asked for prayers for a lost loved one, a lost family member, a lost spouse, son, brother, sister, mother, father, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew. We pray, Lord, that everybody who's listening to this program, that you'll give them an open door to witness and to share the gospel and to hand out gospel tracts. We pray, Lord, for all these lost souls. We pray that they get saved. We pray, Father God, for the people that need healing, that you would heal them. And if it's your desire to take them home, give them courage and comfort when you do. And Lord, we just thank you for this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you gather together. We thank you, Lord, for this house church Sunday morning broadcast. We thank you for the Bible study. We thank you for the podcast. We thank you, God, that you have assembled us together as a church family to get something done for you. And Lord, it encourages me to see so many on fire people who are part of Now the End Begins. Let us get something done for you, Lord, while we still have time to do it. And we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, welcome everybody. Psalm 71, and it's a relatively short psalm. I want to read the entire thing, and then I want to talk to you about it. Psalm 71, starting in verse 1. And I want you to really, really let your mind be still. Let yourself calm down. Maybe stop chatting in the chat room for just a moment. And I want you to listen to the words of this psalm. I was reading this on Tuesday or Wednesday. A lot of the times I like to just randomly open my Bible and see what God has for me. And on Tuesday, the Bible just fell open to Psalm 71, and it grabbed my attention right away. Psalm 71, starting in verse 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given me commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee I have been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me off not in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, amen, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame that seek my hurt." Psalm 71 has many great and precious promises. When we rightly divide Psalm 71, I could make a pretty good case that most of this, from a doctrinal perspective, is aimed at Israel in the time of Jacob's trouble, specifically in the Great Tribulation, when they are being kept by God's miraculous power in the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. I could make a pretty good case that Psalm 71 doctrinally would apply to that time period. But if you're a born-again Christian today and you read John chapter 10, then you understand that there is much in Psalm 71 that absolutely applies to a born-again Christian living here in the closing moments of the church age. Jesus says this in John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief, that's the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And then farther down, he says this in verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the first thing that I want to point out to you this morning in the light of Psalm 71 is that we serve a God who is so powerful that he can lay down his own life in death and then he can raise himself from the dead. The other day, my friend Mark Bennett went home to be with Jesus Christ. He died early Friday. And when he closed his eyes in his hospital bed, strapped to tubes, and he was on dialysis, his oxygen level, the last report that I had, his oxygen level had dipped down to about 53%. And there's really no coming back from that. But when he closed his eyes in death, he opened them immediately. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. He opened his eyes immediately in the presence of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had put his trust and faith in the one who says that he has the power to raise himself from the dead. Now, when you stop and think about that, just that one promise, John 10:18, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down of myself, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. When you are his child, when you are born again, when you become part of the body of Christ, you live because he lives. You rise because he rose. And John 10:18 says that Jesus Christ raised himself, being dead, from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, when I meditate about that, that fills me with an unbelievable level of comfort. That Jesus Christ is so powerful that he can raise himself from the dead. If he can do that for him, he can absolutely, being the one who is alive forevermore, he can absolutely do that for you. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. I believe that God is able to separate himself into three equal entities. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, and the Holy Spirit. I also believe that Jesus Christ is the manifest representation of all three in one place. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest image of God the Father. And to me, that is very, very comforting. Now, if you're not saved today, if maybe somebody who listens to this program a lot, they invited you and they've been telling you about salvation, I want to be very blunt and very direct with you today. If you die and you're lost, you're not going to go to heaven where my friend Mark went. We're sad that Mark died. but we're comforted because we know that he's in heaven and we will see him again. But if you die and you're lost, not only do you not go to heaven, if you die and you're lost, you go to a place called hell. And in Luke chapter 16, which is not a parable, Luke chapter 16 shows you what happens to people who die and they are not saved. Luke 16, starting in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. This is not a parable. Luke 16 shows you what happens when somebody dies and they're trusting in the Lord, and somebody dies and they have no trust in the Lord. There's very, very few pastors and preachers today that are willing to preach on hell. And that's a shame. Dr. Ruckman used to say, if your pastor doesn't preach at least two messages on hell, you need to go find a new pastor. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of wisdom in that. I want to play this clip from Dr. Ruckman. It's a mashup that somebody made. It's called The Truth About Heaven and Hell. And if you're lost today, I want you to listen to it, and I want you to consider it.
Jesus, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. I believe that. I believe the word of God is true from the beginning. Genesis 1.
Now, I've got thinking to myself, I wonder what if a fella got down hell and he could write back about it. I wonder what he'd say. I wonder what he'd say.
So, did you guys go see Santa tonight?
Yep.
Yeah? What did you ask Santa for?
The Easter Bunny.
It's going to be a little bit longer.
Wherever you came from, does your preacher preach two messages on hell every year? If he doesn't, he's not following the example of Jesus Christ.
I want you in heaven. I want you in New Jerusalem. Don't want you in the lake of fire.
The God of that Bible is holy. He'll let you go to hell. You want to go? You can go. Don't go. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Don't go.
The way
either know is to trust Christ your Savior, believe on Him as your Savior, and trust what He did dying on Calvary's cross to take away your sins. If you don't believe that, why don't you try it? If you don't have assurance of eternal life, why don't you try that instead of what you're trying? Some of you folks I've talked to have been trying other things for years, haven't you? And you still don't know. You can know now. You say, well, I got to be a Ruckman. You've got to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior.
When you get saved, it's not just getting something for nothing. It's getting everything for nothing. See, that's what the thing is.
Whatever you do, don't go to hell. You folks here with gray hair and white hair, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever it's going to be, there's one thing I'm going to ask you. Don't go to hell. You'll get in there, you'll never get out. Hell is no joke. God doesn't want you there. Christ doesn't want you there. The people in hell don't want you there. The people that love you don't want you there. The question comes up, who is it that wants you in hell? I'll make it as simple as I can. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. You want to go to hell? Trust something else. That's all there is to it. It's so simple. Men make it so hard. Preachers make it so difficult. I don't know why. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Can I get any more plain with you? You want to go to hell? Trust something else.
Hi, Dad. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve. What's that? Way down there at the edge of that street, there's the Lord up there in glory. And down he comes off that throne. He always would come down for a sinner. And he comes down there, well done, thou good and faithful servant in the joy of our Lord.
Just getting something for nothing, it's getting everything for nothing. See, that's what the thing is.
That's exactly right. When you get saved, it's not getting something for nothing, it's getting everything for nothing. The Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you're saved today, you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. You have been given the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment on your soul. Ephesians chapter 1, 12 through 14, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. If you want a blessing sometime, do a word search, do a word study on that word earnest in your King James Bible. And every time you see that word earnest, I want you to think of the word down payment. And I promise you that that study will be an unbelievable blessing to you. Okay, we've set the table. It's time for the preaching. Psalm 71, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. This is the prayer of every lost person who has ever prayed to get saved. This was the prayer that I prayed 30 years ago on March 14th, 1991. I didn't use these exact words, but I got down on my knees in my bedroom just before midnight, and I opened up my Gideon's King James Bible that my dad had taken from a hotel room 20 years earlier. that nobody had ever read, that nobody had ever cracked open. And I opened up this 20-year-old Gideon's King James Bible, and it was so new that the spine was still crackling. You know when you get a brand new book and you open it up and the spine crackles because it's never been opened before? So here I am opening up this 20-year-old Gideon's King James Bible that my dad had taken from the hotel room. And I only knew to look for one verse, John 3:16. That's all I knew. And the only reason why I knew that is because I remember watching Monday Night Football. And they used to hold up back in the days when the NFL was actually the Christian organization that it claims to be. I don't know, maybe they don't claim that anymore in this day and age of social justice nonsense. But there was a time when the NFL was highly aligned with Christian organizations. And one of those organizations used to hold up every time that somebody scored a point, they used to hold up a cardboard sign that said John 3:16. So I opened up my Gideon's King James Bible, and I'm putting a picture of that into the chat room right now. But if you're not in the chat room, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and just go to the About section and click on my personal testimony. And you can see these pictures that I'm talking about, and you can read my personal testimony. But I got down on my knees on March 30th, 1991, not knowing Psalm 71, never having read Psalm 71, but my prayer was pretty much along these lines. O Lord, deliver me, cause me to escape, incline thy ear and save me. If you're lost today, this is a really good place to start. Right here in the Old Testament. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, let me never be put to confusion. When Mark was dying in the hospital and his oxygen levels were starting to really dip, and the last couple of things that he posted on Facebook was really just more like gibberish because his mind was becoming very confused with the lack of oxygen as his body went into the process of starting to shut down. But Psalm 71 verse 1 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You may have confusion physically, and you may have it here in this world. But if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've been born again according to John 3:3, if you've heard the gospel of the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, then you will ultimately never be put to spiritual confusion. The Holy Spirit that God sealed you with the day he saved you, that Holy Spirit is like a homing beacon, which will take you home when this body fails, when this body dies. You will not die in a state of confusion. So verse 2 says, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. We've been talking about when the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. And I came up with this analogy that when the pre-trib rapture does happen, the people who are alive at that time and saved, who will be taken in that rapture, I hope it's me and I hope it's you, but if not, we'll meet you when you get up there. But I liken the pre-tribulation rapture to a military rescue operation with soldiers that are trapped under enemy fire in the deep, dark jungle. And the military sends in the helicopters and they throw down the lifeline. And those soldiers grab onto that rope. And the helicopter begins to lift them up to safety. And as they're being lifted up, bullets are flying past their face. Their shoes are on fire, and the plastic tips of their shoelaces are melting as they go up. That's what the pre-trib rapture is going to be like. We're not getting out of here in lazy boy recliners. We're not getting out of here in soft padded armchairs. It's going to be like a jungle rescue. And your shoes are going to be on fire. Your shoelaces will be melting. And bullets will be whizzing past your face. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." On our Bible study tonight, we're going to do another Bible study on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We haven't done one in a while and had a lot of people asking rapture-based questions in the chat room this morning, and I promised that we would talk about that tonight. So join us tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to do an in-depth Bible study on the differences between the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the rapture of the tribulation saints in Matthew 24. But if you're saved today, your hope is in Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 71, verse 2, it says, "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape." Escape what? For the born-again Christian, you may not escape troubles down here on earth, but you will absolutely escape the fiery flames of hell if God delivers you in his righteousness. How do you get God's righteousness? You can't work for it. You can't earn it. Because God's righteousness is his son, Jesus Christ. Salvation is a person. Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. Come and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Psalm 71 verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." If your hope is in Jesus Christ, when you close your eyes in death, you will open them in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." You have no idea what's going to happen to you tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. You have no idea if you're going to be here tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or even later today. Psalm 71 verse 12 says, "O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help." You know how people like to use the expression, "O my God," and you see it on video, on TikTok videos, YouTube videos. Everybody's always using the expression, "Oh my God." Well, they get that from a King James Bible. Psalm 71, verse 12, "Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help." Every time that you say, "Oh my God," you're invoking his name. I hope you're using it in the proper way. "O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help." Verse 16 says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." How do you show God's strength unto this generation? You go out and you tell lost people how they can get saved. It's not hard. It's actually very easy. All you have to do is give them God's word, God's promises, God's warning. Get yourself some gospel tracts, whether they're NTEB tracts or any other type of gospel tract. Just make sure it uses the King James Bible. But I have seen dozens and dozens of people get saved through street preaching and gospel tracts. I have seen dozens of people get saved right here through these broadcasts and these radio programs. And it's a blessing every time that it happens. And in Psalm 71, verse 18, it says, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. And when you stand out there on the front lines and you preach and teach and lift up your voice and sigh and cry and tell lost people about salvation in Jesus Christ, you are fulfilling God's command to preach and to teach and to warn everybody. And not just the lost, but there's a whole lot of lukewarm Christians out there. I get more and more messages from people who say to me, when I started listening to your broadcasts, I didn't know that I was a lukewarm Laodicean. But after listening to your broadcasts and comparing what you say to the Word of God, I realized that my fire had gone out. The Bible says that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil. If your light has gone out, it is up to you to get that light going again. 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. There's a number of things about COVID and the entire manufactured pandemic. Real virus, fake pandemic. But there's a number of things about the COVID pandemic that have been a blessing to me personally. One of those things is it helped me finally to break my addiction to watching sports. Now, I didn't watch as much as some people watch, but I would watch my Yankee baseball games. I would watch my Steelers football games, and I would get, especially with the football, I would get very, very, very involved with watching my favorite football team. But ever since this pandemic started, God began to break away and to chip away at me and to show me that I needed to get closer to Him. Now, you might say to me, well, hey, brother, aren't you the Bible teacher? Aren't you the preacher? Yeah, absolutely. And guess what? We're all at the same level. It's only in the Catholic hierarchy that you have people that are at the top and they lord over everybody else. Well, you can find that in a lot of Baptist churches, too. But the reality of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, whether you're a person who sits in the congregation or you're a person on the other side and you're in a ministering position, the truth is everybody struggles not with the same things, but everybody struggles in the same way. We all have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil on a constant basis. And one of the things about the pandemic that I have considered to be a blessing is I don't watch sports. I haven't watched sports for quite a while now. And I don't miss it even one bit because I see that it was a trap to take my attention away from the Lord. I don't listen to the radio. Those of you who know me, who've ridden in the car with me, I don't play anything. I don't even play Christian music. Because when I drive in the car, I want to have a time where my mind is not constantly being bombarded. Now, sometimes if I go on a long trip, I'll load up my phone with preaching. If I'm, you know, on a trip that's 5 or 6 hours or 10 hours or whatever the case is, I like to listen to some preaching on long rides. But more and more, God's been getting me to a place where all the other things that distract me and take my attention away, God's been chipping them away one by one by one. And if you're a Christian, one of the things about the pandemic that's been a blessing, one of the things about the pandemic that's been a blessing is that you find out what type of Christian you really are. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Back at the start of the pandemic, I wrote an article called, "Has the Government Just Shut Down Your Church Building? Good. Maybe it's time to copy the apostles and go back to house churches like they did." Now, I wrote this article in March of 2020. This is a fairly long time before God put on my heart to start this Sunday morning house church service. But I wrote this article at the very beginning of the pandemic, asking the question and making the statement, "Has the government just shut down your church building? Good. Maybe it's time to copy the apostles and go back to house churches like they did." Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21 say, "And how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And I wrote this: as a society, Americans in 2020 are largely a pampered lot of people, me included. True, we have our share of the poor, but not poor like what you see in Indonesia or Afghanistan or in Africa, where they actually lick the dirt to find the nutrients. In America, there is abundance, and we are not used to living any other way. We have churches in nearly every town, and a lot of times there are massive million-dollar megachurches. What do you see when you go inside? You see a lot of people who are, quote, going to church. But it's really more of a social club where people go to gossip, hook up, socialize, and drink coffee. They roll their eyes if the preacher goes longer than usual, lukewarm as the day is long. Maybe God is doing you a favor by allowing your church to be shut down. Maybe God is trying to wake you up. I think that we have forgotten that being born again Christians, we are the church. It was never about the building. In fact, when you read the book of Acts, there are no church buildings. Where did they meet? They met at people's homes. They met in small groups. And they made the word of God of primary importance. Many of them suffered persecution by Rome for doing so, and they were put to death. It cost them something to meet to worship the Lord like they did, and it caused everybody to walk very closely with him. And then lastly, I said this: people, now I said this in March of 2020, people, you better wake up. The entire world is changing, and it's never going to go back to the way it was. If you can't get on fire for the Lord now, then your fire is out, and you better check up on your salvation too. When was the last time that you sang in church at the top of your lungs because you were so happy to be saved and headed for heaven? When was the last time you shouted, "Amen," once or a dozen times during the preaching. You see what I mean? You were lukewarm anyway. Do you really care that the government shut down your church? Did you really appreciate it when you had it? These are rhetorical questions. We already know the answers. So what am I trying to tell you today? I am trying to tell you that in the midst of this pandemic, in watching people that we love die, and it's sad and it breaks our heart watching people die. But this is no joke. This is no game. It is time to wake up. I had a family stop in the bookstore yesterday. I don't normally work the bookstore on a Saturday, but I worked it yesterday, and this woman stopped in with her husband and her two kids. Her name is Monica, and she's here in the chat room a lot. She may even be here today. I don't see her right now, though. But Monica and her family stopped in yesterday, and they were such a blessing to me. They were such an encouragement to me, because they were talking about how on fire that they have gotten since they started listening to these programs. And these programs come at a great cost, not just money, but it takes a lot of time to do these programs. On a Sunday, I give my entire Sunday, morning and night, to do these two programs. Now, I'm happy to do it. This is what God has called me to do. And I thank him for that, and I rejoice in that. He gives me everything that I need to do it. He gives me the resources, the funding, the support, the location, the equipment, the tools, the strength, the presence of mind. He gives me everything that I need to do these programs. But it's so encouraging to me when I hear people who said that they used to be Laodicean and now they're on fire for God. Monica said to me yesterday, "You're always talking about throwing your non-King James Bible into the garbage." Well, she said, "We threw our Bible in the garbage. Now we're here to get a King James Ruckman reference Bible." And that is a blessing to me, an absolute blessing. But if you listen to these programs for any length of time, then you probably already know what my message is. My message is to lost people. If you're not saved, God's not fooling around, you're not promised tomorrow, you better get saved right here, right now. That's message number one. Message number two is to saved people. If you're not on the front lines, why not? If you're not actively serving God, why not? If you're spending more time attending sporting events instead of doing like what Jeffrey from Kentucky does, he goes to the Cincinnati Reds baseball stadium not to watch the game, but he goes out there to preach and teach the word of God to the tens of thousands of people that are walking past him to get into the sports cathedral. This is no joke. These programs are not entertainment. If you're lost, get saved. Because if you don't, you're going to burn in hell. I understand that offends some people. I understand Billy Graham didn't believe that hell was a real place. Billy Graham didn't believe that hell actually has flames. But my King James Bible says otherwise. And if you're not saved, you better get saved. No more fooling around. How do you know that you're not going to be one of those 151,000 people who are alive right now who are going to be dead this time tomorrow? And I'm not talking COVID. I'm talking the hundreds of ways that people can die. And if you're saved, you have no excuse for not being on the front lines and trying to get something done. Every day I get in my car, I check to make sure that I have a stack of gospel tracks within easy reach. And believe me, I have the same struggle that you have. I'll be out someplace, I'll be at a gas station, and I'll be filling up my car with gas, and I'll see somebody across from me, and the Holy Spirit will say, go give that person a gospel track. What do you think, I just skip right over without a care in the world? No. The devil tries to stop me exactly the same way that he tries to stop you. I have to push myself to witness, even after 9 years of being a street preacher. I still have to push myself, because we live in a world where the world and the flesh and the devil are trying to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And I struggle with that every bit as much as you struggle with that. But I have resolved within myself that every time that I step up to the plate, I am going to swing with all my might. Why? Because Paul says that we may please him who has called us to be a soldier. This is the front lines. This is the end times. This is no game. This is not entertainment. And this is not fooling around. If you don't have gospel tracts, get them. Order them today. Whether you get them from our bookstore or you get them someplace else, it doesn't matter. Get gospel tracts today. And resolve within yourself that you are going to be the shining light that God saved you to be. He left you here for a reason and for a purpose. It doesn't matter if your church is shut down. It doesn't matter if your church is Laodicean. It doesn't matter if your pastor is Joel Osteen. None of those things have any bearing on you as a born-again, saved individual. You can rise above all those things. I had a brother who contacted me last year from a church down by Hollywood, Florida. And he said, I've been listening to your Bible studies for 3 years now after my church went liberal and they no longer preach from the King James Bible. He said, you've been my preacher for the last 3 years. And he drove all the way up, 5-hour ride, with him and his wife, and they took me out for lunch. They drove all the way up so he could share that with me, and that's a blessing. So, you have no excuse if your pastor is liberal, if your church doesn't have the King James Bible. You have a King James Bible. If your church doesn't preach the truth, then you preach the truth. You go out into the streets where you live. It doesn't cost anything at all. It costs nothing to start a street ministry. All you have to do is want to tell lost people about hell and remind saved people that they should be on the front lines. That's where the front lines are. That's where the fight is. The Apostle Paul said this in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, a verse that is very much near and dear to our hearts, Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul was willing to go to his end with the praise of God on his lips. Nat says, I'm recovering from knee replacement surgery. Need prayers for optimism. Finding it hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Dobbin says, this is my first time as part of the chat. I love NTEB. Listen and read every day. Thanks so much for this ministry. I was doing some yard work with my AirPods in so I could listen live. Please pray when there's time for salvation from my mother, Renate. She's 78, and I can't bear the thought of where she'll go if she's unsaved. Thank you. Prayers for everyone. Spray of Sunshine said, sons need to get saved. Please pray. And Mighty Little Lion, prayers for me. I am dealing with several family members who are not walking with God, with mixed views on the vaccine. There's lots of conflict in my family. Please pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all these prayers from the beginning of our program to the end of our program. I thank you, Lord, for Dobbin, first time being part of the chat room, asking for prayer for his mom. That's a blessing. I pray, Lord, for Mark Bennett's family, for his wife, Anita, his son, Kingsley. I pray, God, you would give him much comfort at this time. And, Lord, I thank you for my brother, Mark Bennett. And he's home with you in heaven now. And those of us who remain behind, the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And you have called us to the fight, God. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. All right, tonight, by popular demand, by special request, tonight's Bible study, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is going to be the differences between the pre-tribulation rapture of the church that we see in Titus 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to be comparing that with the rapture of the tribulation saints that we see in Matthew chapter 24. So please join us tonight for a very special Bible study, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please pray for Anita and Kingsley Bennett. They really, really need your prayers today. Thank you very, very much.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me. Ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or a conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York as people were fleeing from a crumbling building. There were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in a falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for a personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible! There's no cross in the theology! There's no soul-searching word! There's no repentance from sin! There's no mention of the blood of Jesus! Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God! Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before.